Better on Draft fans, we truly appreciate you joining us each and every week as we go over the news and interview someone from the industry. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating and review it. Helps us get our word out. Also, take this time to go to our Facebook and like it. Check out the daily lulls for lunch that Matt posts. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. The name for all three is Better on Draft. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video of every episode, youtube.com/betteronDraft, as well as check out our Untapped page for what we drank each and every Friday night under the name Bod Podcast. Also, you can watch us live and chat with us while we are live at twitch.tv/BodPodcast every Friday from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern. And no matter what you think of our show, we think it's Better on Draft.
The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
We are live, episode 141 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. And you know what I just realized we didn't do 2 weeks ago when we had episode 140?
We didn't bring any 40s.
I feel like a missed opportunity now that we have to wait for almost 2 years.
Is it because I'm white?
I don't think that stopped us before. I don't think you were here for the original episode 40.
Yes, I was.
I feel like it's more of a near miss.
Miller Lite Ice, baby.
Remember? Oh, my God. No, I don't, because I brought E40 that day, and it was god-awful. Dan loved it, though.
Of course.
It tasted like licking a postage stamp.
I don't mind that flavor in comparison to the flavors that I had.
I'm pretty sure that's how they flavored E40, is they just put a whole bunch of postage stamps in water.
And then, like, they...
They randled postage stamps. Or would you say they French pressed it?
I would say we should try that, but that would be way too expensive these days to randle some postage stamps.
You know what? I'll business expense it. Let's call it. Well, just reimburse me.
No, that's the same thing as buying it, except you get reimbursed.
There you go.
And it still comes out of my wallet.
Thanks, IRS.
I mean, you could do whatchamacallit. You could do postcard stamps.
Postcard stamps?
Yeah.
Isn't it cheaper?
I don't think that exists anymore.
Yeah, that doesn't.
I just bought a roll of 100.
Postcard stamps? What the hell is a postcard stamp?
It's a stamp for a postcard.
I thought.
Thank you for the logic there.
I thought all stamps were just stamps. I didn't know they were. I mean, I know that like if you have a big package from Amazon, you have to like pay for it, but I thought it was just. What is it, 50 cents a day right now for a letter?
It's like 49 cents for a postage stamp. But
I haven't sent actual mail in a long time.
A postcard stamp is I think it's around like 16 or 17 cents.
I thought like a postcard was built in with postage, so you didn't have to pay.
No, I knew that wasn't. You still have to put the...
I don't even remember the last time I involved myself with a postcard.
I can't even think of a time that I've ever sent a postcard. I was probably when I was a kid. And my parents are like, ooh, send a postcard.
How much is a telegram, Rob?
Wow. You mean back in my day?
Or currently, really? Even, maybe.
No, Rob, Rob was too busy selling candygrams.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was too busy. Yeah, I was too busy dealing with the Pony Express at the time. So
you are the original Wells Fargo guy, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. This is getting way off the rails. Rob, what are you drinking?
I am... pleasantly drinking because of all the damn driving I just finished up with. Pike 51's Sensual Bean. It's one of those kind of off-the-beaten-path breweries that you find just outside of Grand Rapids in Hudsonville. And a lot of people have been – like when they first bottled this, they people just all over the place were like looking for bottles of this stuff. And I was very surprised that that Holiday had it on tap this week. So I had to make a trip on the way here to get something because between taking the kids out to the water park all the way out in Waterford and then having to drive my foster daughter's siblings back to their house in Romulus in rush hour to get here. And
your car goes to Waterford?
Yeah, it does. We went up north.
I was going to say, you also went to, like, Frankenmuth.
I was going to say, he had some GPS for that one, so he couldn't get lost.
By my definition, I did go up north. And actually, we're going up north again next weekend, too.
Going to Clawson?
Close. Frankenmuth.
Okay.
Are you going to KOA it by chance?
Oh, hell no. No.
You gotta, if you're going to go up north, you got to go up north, right?
They got the Jellystone up there. They got a Jellystone National Park camping ground over there in Frankenmuth.
We don't have any picnic baskets, unfortunately, no.
I wasn't even making a pun. That's
are you
going to
Zender's it while you're up there?
Well, you have to.
I don't think so.
Wait, hold on. I saw what you're going for.
What? No.
That's really racist.
It's the thing to do in Frankenmuth, isn't it?
Sure. The thing to do.
You
want to
stop at Halo Burger while you're up there?
I don't know. I thought maybe it was the fried chicken that I was eating at the point right now that just.
Oh, yeah. It
just kind of Freudian.
It just kind of rolls right off of Matt's tongue all the time.
Exactly.
Matt, what are you drinking over there?
Well, I finally got my Diverners back, so I feel whole. I feel like it can actually, it can stop kneeling during the show.
No more.
Jesus Christ.
And then I've got a PBR, but I'm really waiting on this triple that is in this condensated growler over here.
Well, so it does look like a beefy growler. We do have return guests coming back now that they're open. JamX Brewing, why don't you guys introduce yourselves again?
Hey, this is Kat and
Jeff.
We are the owners of JamX.
It sounds like the beginning of the intro. I'm Kat, I'm Jeff, and we're
is this your answering
the
machine?
Owners.
Leave us a message after the beer.
There you go.
Kat runs the business. I brew the beer and do all the dirty work.
Fair enough. Yeah. So you guys have a triple. Why don't we get that poured? Why don't you explain the triple to us while we're pouring that out?
Okay, you explain and I'll pour.
Deal.
All right, well, the triple is just, it's a really good example of the style, I think. We brewed one back around Christmas, and I kind of added some spice to it to make it more of like a Christmas beer. This one's a lot cleaner, a lot more traditional, and I'm really happy with the way it came out. I think there's a good amount of Belgian character, but it's not overdone. I know a lot of people get scared away by Belgian yeast character, and I think this one is right on spot. So I'm pretty proud of it.
Oh, that's going to be enough for me. What's the ABV coming in on this?
9.3.
Ooh. I think that is more than enough. I will take all of that.
Before you go, so I started this week the keto.
Yeah.
So, this is pretty much my entire beer for the week, my entire beer for the day.
Yeah, that's pretty much your carb up right there.
That's the thing is I was looking at all the stuff. I'm like, oh, what can I drink? And really the only thing I can drink that's not carb heavy, a lot of booze and wine. Because mead has honey and honey has
sugar,
right. Which therefore turns into carbs.
Yep.
I was looking at a lot of stuff. So I've been good. It's going to be interesting when I go to Dallas, Texas next week. But I'm going to
eat barbecue.
I think the big thing is the drinking or I'm going to be drinking. I think it's just going to be like a meh.
That's going to be tricky. Yeah.
Yeah. I might as well just do it. Just get it over with. Get it out of my system. Well, you guys know me. Like, I don't drink very much outside of the show now unless
Bingo.
We're at a festival.
I think it starts every episode.
But it's true though. Like, it's rare unless I'm at a brewery or I'm at I'm going to see someone or meet someone. Like, I don't drink at home anymore. I have beer that's been sitting like this Allagash over here that I have right next to bottled April of 2017. So like I have a 6-pack of Zombie Dust that's over a year old in my house.
Oh no,
it's criminal.
It doesn't really affect me too much. I'll appreciate the beer because what happened was that oddly enough, I brought two cases of Zombie Dust home and sold them for $10, just flat out. That's what they cost me. That's what they are. And I couldn't get rid of this last 6-pack. And then the hops fell off because it was two weeks old. So I'm like, whatever, I'll just keep it up there. And then it's kind of stayed on my bookshelf this whole time.
Yeah.
So we have this triple 9.3. And what do you guys think of it?
I think it's right to style. I was really afraid because I had your summer funk. Is that what it was? The farmhouse one that you have either now or and it is funktastic. It is super funky and it was grassy and earthy and scary, to be honest. But this is mellowy. It's not overly, like, Belgian Saison yeast is in it, but it's not spiced that way. Yep. So that's welcome for someone who doesn't do, like, rye or coriander in his beer. Sure.
I taste the booze, though. You can definitely tell that there's something.
It's warming me up, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's just because the studio is, like, 45 degrees.
Really? I think it's a little warm in here.
You think it's warm in here?
Yeah.
Holy Jesus. I think I might be freezing.
Yeah, I think there's... It's just, I mean, the beer is good. I think it is warm in here, though. I don't know. It could just be me.
So you guys
going through hot flashes. I'm that age.
Yeah, I guess so.
32, right?
So you guys have been open for just under a year, right?
Yep.
When's your anniversary now?
August 25th.
Okay, so we have basically 3 weeks till you're big. So what is the one thing that you've learned most in this last year?
That we know nothing. It's been everything. We obviously hired people, so that was a whole new thing. Our initial goal was to bartend and staff the place ourselves for the first 6 months. And after night one, we're like, ha-ha, that's not going to happen. So right away, you know, we got Amelia after the first month, and then so on and so forth. And that's been, you know, huge in just, like, letting go of, like, some of our responsibility and learning really how to staff and
pretty much the business end, mostly.
The business end, yep. Learning.
And what did you guys...
all the finances.
Where did you guys come from prior to the brewery? Like, what was your background?
Shipping?
I was just a shipping manager, and Kat was just a stay-at-home mom for our two boys.
Hey, there's no such thing as just a stay-at-home mom.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Household manager, I should say.
Household manager, that's right.
So are you full-time at the brewery now? Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of us.
Does it feel weird to wake up and say, I get to brew beer for a living?
It's glorious.
Yeah.
It really is. Just to have that freedom, you know, to work whatever hours in the morning you want, not having somebody look over your shoulder. Like just this past week, I came in, you know, I had a plan. Then, like, right on a whim, I decided, no, I'm not going to brew this beer. Let's brew that beer. Just to have that flexibility is, you know, I'll never go back now, hopefully. I don't think I can. I'll just end up being, like, a diva or something.
I mean, we opened the place essentially mainly because Jeff was really unhappy at his job, with what he had. And it was just kind of, we were at this cross point of, what are we going to do with the rest of our lives, right? Like, we're young enough to where we can go back to school, we can do career changes, or we can ride it out and stick it out, or, you know, like, what are we going to do? And, you know, and then we realized that his beer is actually really good, and we decided to do something with that. And I think we're just really bad employees ourselves.
You millennials.
So
better employers.
Better just do it myself, you know?
So what do you think that you've learned the most, though, like, beer-specific? Like, have you just poured a batch yet completely out and said, wow, I thought this was going to go wildly different?
It's happened a few times, usually for the better. We actually had a beer I brewed not long after opening. It was called Little English. It's supposed to be more of a pale ale, and for whatever reason, I totally, like, didn't use the hops properly, or... I still can't remember what went wrong, but the beer came out unexpectedly malty in a fantastic way. It was just like this beautiful, nice, bready, caramel, biscuit backbone, and people were loving it. So I was like, well, that was a mistake that turned out well.
We only poured out one beer so far, and that was because Jeff tried to overdo it, and we screwed up.
Was it a hoppy beer?
It was a Hefeweizen. And he wasn't super happy with it initially, so we're like, oh, let's add some lime and lemon peels. And we totally overdid it on the lime and lemon peels, and it tasted like...
carbonated lime and lemon
like
water.
So. A Sprite or something. No, it was terrible.
Like a bar of soap, though, or like an actual Sprite?
Well, I mean, drier
than... Were you like zestfully clean in your mouth?
Like so much zest. Like so much.
So I know the answer to this, but... how's the community kind of come around you guys? Like, what, you know, what's going on at the facility?
It's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, so good. We have the best clientele.
Thank you.
Yes. You are.
Matt pats himself on the back.
Wow.
No, but we really do. I mean, where we're located, we're really lucky is that we're in the midst of all these neighborhoods. And so a big chunk of our clientele, I would say, is, you know, within just a few miles.
Yep.
A lot of them right now are riding their bikes and or walking. And so it's nice because we get to see, you know, the same faces over and over again, and we get to, you know, get to know our neighbors. We get to know, you know, everyone that comes in, and it's been fantastic. We've also, you know, started getting some food trucks in, and we're starting to get like a pretty good reputation with some of these food trucks, and they're coming back. We have Raquel's Casino, the Mexican pop-up that comes in weekly now. So, I mean, things have been just, no, it's been fantastic, everyone we've met.
So we won't tell them, but do you have a favorite food truck that's come by?
Yes.
We won't tell the other ones, I suppose.
She does for sure. I know that.
Is it coming back this weekend?
It'll be back.
Soon.
What is your Fire favorite one. Food truck that you have?
Okay, so my favorite is Truck Shucka.
Okay.
And they've been there several times.
And what is Truck Shucka?
Truck Shucka is the Israeli street food truck. It's an Israeli street food truck. So it's very similar to, you know, Middle Eastern Lebanese. He's got like shawarmas, and but then he also has like this shakshuka, which is essentially like what, like a tomato reduction with peppers and other vegetables. And then he puts egg and goat cheese and other things. Anyway, these are these gigantic sandwiches that he makes with just, I don't know, so much goodness.
Yeah,
so
no,
much goodness. Like,
everything's
it's so
cooked
good.
Fresh and
it's
cooked
so
to order.
Flavorful. Nice. And, you know, a lot of veggies, right? But, like, done in such a good way. I don't know.
Jeff, do you have a favorite?
No, I love them like my kids.
So you definitely have a favorite then? They're not old enough to listen to it, so we can make that joke for another, what, 13 years or so?
I was about to say, you drop the, all right, the house is on fire. All of them are in there. You can only grab one. Which one do you grab?
Well, there's two of them, so I'm sure they're going to cop out and say, well, we'll each grab one.
That's actually really smart. I didn't even think of that. I was too busy saying I might as well just grab the beer because I'm not going to be able to choose between one.
Damn, that's dark.
I really like the Mexican pop-up we've had coming in the last couple months.
Yeah, they are fantastic,
terrific,
too.
Like, really authentic. My kind of style, you know, really bold flavors. You know, they don't go soft on the spice or the pepper. I think it's really good.
So they're really authentic, yeah.
Are you going to make a cerveza? Have you thought about that yet?
Actually, we have coming up, we have a cream ale with a little bit of smoke, and then we're going to add some jalapenos to it, so...
Cans out.
It should go well.
Yep.
So you guys been open a year. How is your food program or your food truck program, how does that affect your business? Like, how do you balance that? Like, what do you just see like an absolute influx on truck nights?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps us having the food trucks. I think it's been working, you know. They have their following, too, and then we have ours, and we sort of work together. Everyone's always very excited to see a new food truck, something new, something different, especially when it comes to, you know, our side of town and is, like, parked right in the middle of a neighborhood. So, yeah, no, it's definitely helped us. We don't push it. If, you know, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, yep. You know, as far as like getting them to come in, then, you know, it doesn't. But it's been good.
So has there been a beer that you've brewed? I know you're at, what, 93?
He's brewed 100 and
104
what?
Now.
Okay. Wow. So is there a recipe that you enjoyed the most, or is there a beer that you have a favorite?
Whatever, I guess, doesn't have hops.
I think the
one of those. You can pick one of those, right? They're technically your children, but...
Way too many kids. Just pick one.
That is a lot of kids.
Yeah. I think the best beer I've brewed to date was the Munich Dunkel. Just came off the taps 2 weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think just for like a beer that I executed the style for, I think that's by far the best work. Like, just everything went right on that beer. Like, I'd take that beer to the Great American Beer Festival and enter it in that category, and I think we'd get something. It was just, it was a bullseye.
Do Do you think that's something that you have in your future? Are you going to start sending to GABF?
I want to so bad. I keep telling her. I'm like, you know, once we get everything, we're like, you know, we're in the process of finishing up getting in the Michigan Brewers Guild, and then we got the Brewers Association. Next year, I'd definitely like to send us the whole truckload of shit out there and then go back.
Do like a couple bottles of everything.
Have an excuse to go there in September. And be like, hey,
I was going
to
say, yeah, I think the Brewers Guild also sends a truck. Like they pay for.
Oh, beautiful. I wonder how we're going
to
do that.
A refrigerated truck. Yeah, they pay for a refrigerated truck for all the beer in the state to get out to GABF.
Any Brewers Guild beer.
Brewers Guild beer, yes.
Yeah, number beers.
Oh,
yes.
Perfect. So we'll just give it to them.
I think. Don't quote me.
Well, they did a few years ago. Whether or not they still do.
I remember it a few years ago. I remember we were discussing GABF, and that's how the beer got to GABF for most of the Michigan breweries. I don't know if the big dogs, the Bells and Founders, are with
their
it.
Own truck.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trust it to Southwest or Delta. I mean, it's not like I'm gonna.
Well, they might have like distro already out in that area. I'm pretty sure they both do actually. So
but wouldn't you want something straight from the brewery, not something that's passed through the distributors and.
I don't know how. I mean, Michigan laws are so stupid that you have to sell everything to the distro anyways, even for festivals. Therefore, it's.
Well, like, if you're taking it across state lines, right?
I would think you'd have to distro it if you want to take it across state lines, no matter what. I would assume so. I don't know.
We should start a lobbying effort on that law.
I'm sure there would be a lot of breweries that would get behind us to.
There we go. We should just champion that. We should make that our. Our goal.
Start our own distributorship.
Better on draft law.
Yeah. Get rid of all distributors.
Right.
I don't know. Get rid of the law.
I was going to say get rid of the law. I think
distributors can stay, but let's not force it.
What sucks for me is that I have a lot of foresight and insight in regards to distro and my opinion on distro and how I feel it does help a lot of people. And the way it's set up now that if you were able to choose between distro and not, it would hurt the people who would need that distro, who would need that extra boost for getting the beer out to further accounts as opposed to having to send people out. And, you know, there's positives and negatives. I think the negatives definitely outweigh the positives, but I still think the positives are enough to do something about it. So you guys have been open for just under a year. Every time I go there, you guys are basically packed. So it's hard to find a seat, or I'm sitting at the bar, or sitting in the corner.
Or sitting next to me, not noticing that I'm next to you.
Yeah. Did he tell you this, by the way?
No.
So I'm out with a friend.
Cozy.
And I'm just sitting there, and I'm talking to her. I look right to my left, and no joke, the table next to me is him in sunglasses, just chilling. And I'm like, oh, hi. Like, half a beer gone, too. So it's not like he just sat there just to, like, you know, sit down.
Well, I think I did tell you because.
Did you know that he he was next to you?
So we were, like, right in the middle of the bar.
It's hard to miss me.
We were at a pair of two tops, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So those were the only tables that weren't busy. So I wasn't not going to sit there, but then again, he was with somebody else, so I didn't want to just barge in and say hello. So I sat down. I figured he'd eventually notice me and we would chat. But ironically, you had thanked me for posting, hey, we're at JMX, I'll always love the beer. I'm like, actually, that was Kent, and he was sitting right here posting that on social media as I was sitting next to him. And he had no clue it was me. Like, I saw him do the whole beer geek thing where he lines up his phone properly. Like, I photographed him photographing your beer to post about it. And it was just super funny about, I don't know who your friend is, so I don't just roll up on people and crash your party.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, she just invited you to sit down. She's like, hi, come sit with us, talk to us, say hello. So, obviously, he did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nothing if not accommodating.
That's very true. Very, very true.
So, Kat, do you have a favorite beer that Jeff brews?
No.
Not even the Cat's Pajamas?
That was a very good beer.
That's all it got its name, but.
That's right. Yep. Jeff was definitely not in the doghouse when he made that name. Not at all.
So, Jeff.
But, no, I don't know. You know, it's strange how much I've noticed that my taste buds just change just every week. No, every week to week. But, you know, so often, now that Jeff's making so many different beers, like, I try so many new different styles, different kinds. And, you know, I've learned to appreciate, you know, the whole rainbow of beers. So no, I don't really have a favorite one. It all just kind of depends on, you know, the day. But yeah, I've learned to like the malty. I'm even starting to get to like the Belgian ones.
I was gonna say, is there a style that you've tried now that you didn't like in the past that all of a sudden now you've really started
Belgians, to kind of go on? I'm starting to appreciate them. They're still not my favorite, my go-to, but you know, they're starting to warm up on me little by little. There's just something about them.
Is there a style that before Jamex that you would drink?
We were always just trying everything everywhere. But I think I was we were going more for IPAs, just like, you know, everybody. And now I've definitely learned to appreciate the malty ones. I've learned to appreciate, you know, just the lighter, more normal beers out there, right? Everybody's always going for the something really fancy, something really new, very hoppy, very unique. And sometimes it's just like now, I think, especially after having so many and so many options all the time, I just appreciate just a good, simple beer. And that's something that we've learned to really appreciate lately.
I think when you're around beer for so long, you have to appreciate like the more crisp, the more easy to drink.
Yeah.
You know, right. when we talk about, you know, some of our friends and we talk about our friends when we see them out and about, a lot of them aren't drinking hoppy, heavy beers. They're drinking crisp, you know, PBR, Founders Gold, Oddside Beer Me. They're drinking the easier to drink beers. I think it's just because they have to drink so many beers all the time, or taste, or help, or they're in the room, or doing, you know, every time you go and you sit down, especially if you guys ever start to do distro, you go into a place to try to sell your beer. Obviously, you're bringing a bottle. You're going to split that bottle with them because you want to share that experience with them. You know, you don't want to just sit there and watch them drink. That's kind of creepy, I would think. It's like, I'm watching you. What do you think? What does his eyes say? What does his nose say? What is his, you know, I just imagine, so like if I had a bar and just somebody coming in trying to sell me IPAs and just the looks I'd give them. I'd just be like, I'll just check Untappd, see what the ratings are. Oh, that's good. Okay. I'll trust Untappd.
That is
more.
A perfect segue.
Uh-oh.
So one of our favorite things is when brewers read their Untappd reviews. Do you do that at all? Do you read your ratings?
Like once a month, just for like a minute or two.
Is this like toilet reading? Just like, what are they saying today?
Or? Yeah. Yeah, and every once in a while, you just gotta like, wow, like this person, like, first of all, it's not even that style of beer. And if you don't like that style of beer, then why order it or rate it in the first place?
You know, is there one that's caught you off guard or one that just kind of stuck out more than the others?
No, I don't think so. I think everything's pretty much order.
Somebody commented on the Harvey Milk.
Oh, yeah.
I recently had a milk stout
that finished. The final gravity was like super high. Like, it was the sweetest stout we've ever made. And the Untappd review is like a half star or half bottle cap, and it said, no sweetness, all roastiness. It's like, wow, really? Because it almost tastes like there's like just
chocolate
straight up
milk.
Sugar in there. But all right.
That's the one thing. I think a lot of people.
Like, maybe you're confused. Yeah. You tasted the wrong beer. Right. Maybe he tasted like the black IPA and thought it was the Harvey Milk. Like, that's possible.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah. I think a lot of people go through phases in regards to ratings. I think there are some who like get high on themselves and like, oh, they have to have a rating, and the rating's going to have like a hundredth of a point, like 2.98, because it can't be a 3, but it's really close to a 3. Yep. And for me, you know, we talk about ratings and beer, and it's just, I think a lot of people, especially when you're going and you're doing a flight too and you're mixing flavors, it's really hard.
It is.
Especially if you have a palate killer. You get one of those, you know, heavy-duty IPAs, a double IPA, or even something like a Belgian Strong that's just going to give you a lot of booze. That's going to destroy whatever the next drink you're having is. Yep. And I think that's why – do you guys have something like a cream ale or a crisp lager or pills that you always have on tap? Or
we always try to have ideally two – blonde or light-colored beers under 6%, almost at all times. Right now, it's the exception to the rule. We just have one. Right now, I have a Pilsner finishing up, so we'll be right back to two.
I was going
to
say under 6%. That sounds like Hoppin' Frog, where like the lowest beer they make is like 6.6%. That's ridiculous.
We've had some low ones.
Right now, we got a 4.6 wit, and that's definitely to kind of counterbalance right now. I got some strong beers out there, so it's like, all right, for people that want to have three or four.
I mean, we're in the summer. Usually you don't see those strong beers till the fall and winter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you seeing them sell off the...
That's what happened. All the lighter beers sold out.
Gotcha.
And now I'm just stuck with a bunch of heavy stuff. So.
Yeah. Right. It's like now Costco. I mean, they're selling jackets and mittens right now, so why not drink the stouts?
No, but you can see that, like, with the weather, how much everyone's beer tastes change. Mm-hmm. Just by going from, like, a really hot sunny day, we'll sell, you know, pretty much all the blonde light beers. I mean, everyone's asking, I want something light and refreshing, right? Mm-hmm. And then all we need is just a day of clouds. Like, it can still be warm, but it'll be cloudy, and everyone's drinking, you know, the dark
porter beers. And stout weather.
So. Yeah, like, right away.
Still 85 outside, but it's cloudy.
But, you know, I get that.
Yeah.
I'd be curious what the metrics are for that kind of thing, because obviously you can't really plan for the weather, especially in this state.
Well, I think she just gave you the metrics.
Well, yeah.
You just need a little cloud, and Raymond's like, oh, you know what? I'll go for something dark today. Feeling malty.
I feel malty every day.
I actually had a guy today complaining that I didn't have a stout. I'm like, well, if you came yesterday, we had the stout, and then it ran out, and now I don't have a stout today.
And you guys aren't rebrewing any recipes, correct? You're still
we've replicated a few. I think we've maybe not five many. We've replicated now.
Yeah.
Okay, so 5% is very low. So I would say you still haven't really done much of that in regards to your beers. Do you get a lot of complaints about that? Like, you guys, you know, once it's tapped, it's gone and never to be seen again, or are the five that you chose the ones that people have really, really wanted, or are they the ones that
backed by popular demand?
Gotcha.
Sure.
Yeah, so, yeah, people would ask for those back. Plus, sometimes, I don't know, I guess we're at this point kind of getting to the point where, like, you know, right now it's already been over 100 beers made. At some point, we're like, all right, so what are we going to make next? What was really good? Can we change it a little bit? Or was it just fine the way it was? Should we replicate it?
Well, there's other subtle differences. Like, we just had an IPA called Bubblicious, and, you know, yesterday we tapped another IPA called Bubba the Dingo, which is pretty much Bubblicious with Australian hops. And it definitely gave it some different character. But for the most part, it was just, you know, same beer, different hop combination. And that was enough to change the flavor and aroma profile entirely.
Can I put in a request for a repeat?
Yes. Sure.
Please.
Yes.
Like, for me, Ultimate Warrior.
Just for
absolutely.
That was a good one.
For me, it's hard to find alt beers, and like that, I remember having that, and I remember it was gone like 2 days after I had. I'm like, you've got to be like, it made me like upset that I didn't come in and get a growler or take a growler to go home, just because that.
But you don't drink at home.
That's true, but they probably
that
would
just
sat there. I tell you what, there are beers that sit in my refrigerator after the show, and I'm like, well, that happened, and then. I try to bring him back the next week, but then
See, mine just end up in the trunk.
How about that trunk?
I still don't understand that. We make fun of you every week for it, and you just still.
I'm okay with it. I have the Deschutes from like 2 months in my trunk still.
Oh my God. Why?
Because you know what?
How's it
you know
not
why? Because I end up at their bar at the end of the night on a Friday. And I have a couple more, and then, you know, it's just like, I don't care what's in my trunk. I don't care if there's like a live cougar in my back seat. I just want to get home and cash out sometimes.
But you get home days when you're sober.
Yeah, most, to be fair, just so the listening audience knows that it's not.
No so judging. With the most, there should be the thought that, hey, I've got this shapes that's sitting in the trunk.
You know what? I play softball on Mondays, and all my softball equipment's in my trunk, and I literally look in my trunk maybe once a week and say, oh, I should take that out of my trunk. And you know what I do? I put my softball equipment right back on it. I'm done.
I'll get it next time.
Exactly.
Sounds like our backseat.
So St. Clair Shores has been good for you guys. You guys are one of three breweries
two
out
and
there.
A half.
So how is like work? Like, is your competition – like, obviously it's good in regards to – do you work with them? Do you talk to Evan? Do you go over to talk to Hazen at Shipwreck? You know, what's kind of like your relationship with them?
It's been great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, Evan and us, we're definitely in contact.
Any collabs?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Or
but
nothing that's in
we're
the
not opposed
but
to. I mean,
I think that would be a perfect collab.
Well, Evan really doesn't have a system to do a collab at Giraffe and with like so little space. But yeah. I mean, you guys have a very open space to do your brewing out in the back, to where you could bring him over there and he can be Evan
and Joe.
And Joe. Well, I mean, Joe's. It's so interesting.
Joe will mash in.
Joe will mash in, but Joe's very, very quiet until you get like a beer in him, and then it's just all bets are off for him.
It's going to be obscene.
It's like you look at him and you're like, oh, he's going to be really quiet, hard to like interview. That was my first impression of Joe when he first came in. I'm like, he's going to be really quiet. Evan's going to do all the talk. And then he starts busting out Will Smith. And I'm like, oh, okay. This is going to be fine. That's still, yeah, we have that save still. I think you were here. I played us out one of his last episode when he came in. I played that out into the first segment. But are you guys seeing a lot of people coming in from Detroit? Like, where are people coming in to check you guys out? Because you're right off 94 in Harper. So it's easy to get to you guys, not necessarily easy with all the construction. Mm-hmm. But are you guys, like, have you guys been hurt by the 696 shutdown? Have you guys seen any?
Not at all.
No,
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. Like I said, I think the majority of our clientele is right in St. Clair Shores. Like, everybody's right there.
St. Clair Shores, Grosse Pointe, Clinton Township.
The St. Yeah. Clair Shores beer fan base is rabid.
Yeah.
In regards
there
to.
Really is.
Like, I know of people who have gone to your place. It's been packed, so they go to Baffin.
Yeah.
Or Baffin, it's packed, and they come to you guys. And it's just kind of. Have you done that?
I do that literally every. I get on my bike because I bought a bike just so I'm not drinking and driving, and I'll go to one.
You know
one.
You can still get an OWI on a bike,
I will
right?
fight that. I almost want to fight something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I'll ride my bike up to Baffin, and it's too busy. And not that you guys aren't busy, but you're more navigatable, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, where sometimes it just butts to nuts, and it's just like, I don't want to stand in a room that's you know, fits 50 people and has like 180 almost. And you guys, like, especially on Sundays, you guys are crazy, like, busy with the Raquel's or whatnot. Yep. And even it was a few weeks ago when you had the German food truck with all the grandmas who were like waiting, ready to go. Yeah. They had their pedal pushers and their New Balances, yep, and they were going to get some schnitzel that day.
They were yodeling.
And it wasn't even a Walmart.
No, that was a great night, though. We definitely have a few nights where it gets crazy. But for the most part, I agree. It's interesting. You know, our capacity is set at 49. And I would say that we rarely go much above it. And when we do, it gets uncomfortable and people cash out and leave, like, almost immediately. And so it's like this beautiful little, like, what is it? Like, self-regulating, mm-hmm, yeah, system that just happens naturally. I don't know. Where, you know, once we hit around 50, it gets uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. People have one beer, they cash out, they leave, and then all of a sudden we've got, you know, we're back in capacity.
So this was your second Wednesday this past week. How long were you considering opening up on a Wednesday? Because you've been only Thursday, Sunday previous.
Well, we started off just being Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So now you're full 5 days. Like, do you see the people, the bodies in on Wednesdays like you see them on Thursdays and Fridays?
Well, it'll be a while before that builds up. Thursdays took a really long time to build up, too. You know, people get used to you being closed these days, and it takes a while till they remember that you're actually open. And that was the same thing with Thursdays. When we first opened them up, they were always really slow. And then probably, a few months ago, they started picking up a lot. Probably around Chris. Yeah. Yeah, right. Right around St. Patrick's Day.
Your stride.
Yeah.
I got an idea. Food truck on Wednesdays. Bam. Right.
Well, yeah. No, we were thinking about doing some, like, pop-ups or some kind of food on Wednesdays.
Yeah, there are some upstarting pop-ups that are inquiring about setting up on a lesser day. I was like, well, Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's a good day to, you know, get your feet wet so you don't get blindsided.
Plus, then, I mean, people are going to see a big, giant truck in front and realize you guys are open. And
right. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, as far as deciding whether to open up on Wednesdays, man, we've been struggling and battling that issue for so long, and we still don't even know. Wednesdays might end up being a summer hours, you know, part of our summer hours, whereas in the winter we'll have to close on Wednesdays. The issue is just that we're a two-barrel system. We have 9 fermenters now, right? So we've increased from 7 from when we opened. And we noticed that last year, you know, during the holidays, we were very, very close to running out of beer. I mean, we always made it, just barely. Yeah. We would, like, finish the weekend.
We'd have 9 with, kegs in a walk-in with 8 beers on tap miraculously. So it looked like we're fully stocked. And it's like, no, not even close.
There's just one extra keg back there, and that's it. And then somehow, you know, during the week, he would stock that up. And then over the weekend, we'd, like, practically run out of beer again. And that just kept going and going, and it took us a really long time to catch up from that. But then we added the 2 fermenters, so we're like, well, we'll see what happens.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are back. Episode 141, Better on Draft Podcast. Jamex is still in studio with us. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
This triple is really good.
Yeah, do you want to bring that back down here?
Hopefully. Oh, there you go. It's still in there. Yeah, I don't know if we drank it all.
No, no.
Can I get
There's
a
still plenty left.
There you go. Did you have any before? Or?
I don't know. I typically don't go for the triples. I think this is you just put this on today-ish?
Last week, I think.
Oh, I'm a bad friend.
Sunday night.
Yeah. Either Sunday or Wednesday. Was my
list. Actually, I think I've been doing you a favor in drinking all of your cider. Because that's really good.
Yeah, that was a new addition that we finally managed to do.
So you guys got your cider and wine license?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys contracted the cider out to call your own.
No, we actually, when we opened, our goal was to have beer and cider from the very beginning. And then, like, the day before we went to go pick up the beer license, I'm looking at my paperwork, and they say that only the beer license is available. I'm like, oh, why isn't the cider license available, right? And then I realized that I only applied for it with a TTB because it was such a lengthy application that I spent so much time doing that one that I forgot to do the state one.
Oh. Right? Well, that would be why.
Yeah, and then, of course, like, everything. So, you know, that's fine. I send in my paperwork, no big deal. But everything, like, at that level takes, you know, several months to go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then by the time that we...
We're busy. There you go.
I think Rob had the same problem. We're trying not to break it, but we don't realize yet.
Right. I need to practice on the growler that I have at home. That from the last time you guys were on I got to take the growler home.
So that's a stainless steel, correct?
Yes, yep. It is stainless steel. So, it's colored copper.
Obviously, you guys do that probably because of where you are in St. Clair Shore, so that people could take it on the boat and that kind of stuff, I would assume? Or
we
was
just thought it was really cool
good?
And pretty.
Here I am, always making everything.
But that is a good point.
So, I would be surprised if you guys don't get, like, a crawler machine soon, too, or at least, you know, invest it in next year, because I think a lot of people who have, you know, the boats out there would probably want to bring Jamex on the boat, and obviously you can't bring glass bottles. So cans and stainless steel growlers, I think, are A-okay.
Right.
I don't think the glass growlers work.
It's something that we're starting to think about, either growlers or maybe even just doing, like, small bottle options, you know, where we just get, like, a refrigerator with a few of our bottles. But that's something that we talk about, but we're not actively doing
Not
it.
In the position to do. No. Probably until the winter's over and you get your... You right. go through that winter of this year and make sure that you still have enough beer because obviously you don't want to bottle beer and then, oh, you're out of keg beer.
Right. I mean, it would be just small amounts. We wouldn't even go through like a bottling facility. We would just do it ourselves, you know, just fill up a fridge, have that available. I mean, that was something that we were talking about. But like I said, we're not anywhere actively pursuing it.
Are you guys going to barrel and then bottle beer? Are you guys going to like make, you know, special reserves?
We could.
I just got a barrel dropped off the other day by
Butter Run.
Dave at the Butter Run Saloon. He's a big whiskey craft beer guy, and he's like, "Hey, can you throw some stout into this thing and let it sit?" I'm like, "Well, sure, why not?" And he's gonna bring more barrels, so that'll be the.
So we'll see.
commencing of our mural program, apparently.
Okay, well, we have news. We broke news. Yes.
It'll be interesting because I don't think Baffin does any barrel aging of any sort, do they?
They've done a little bit. Yeah.
I thought they did a bourbon barrel edition of the
punch
Bob,
beer.
Bob Barley.
And Bob Barley. Okay.
And they put the punchki in a barrel, too.
They gotcha. Also did the tequila barrels.
There you go.
The tequila that's mangoes, right?
Yeah. Tequila barrel. Yeah, mangoes.
Okay, so I guess they have a few. Yeah. Every time I've gone up there, I never notice it. I'm typically too busy looking at the names and not the styles because that's definitely their. How do you guys go through your naming process? Okay. Obviously,
so
whoever
random.
Has an idea, we just run with it.
I say you're there all the damn time, right? Aren't you?
You know,
you should be a contributor here.
You know, they did name a beer after a dog before they named it after me. So that's only a small slight.
But you know Bubba, right?
I've only just met him.
Okay, well.
And I guarantee I've spent more than Bubba has. Maybe not Bubba's owner.
I mean, you could call it like maybe do a light beer. You can call it like Bush Light. I don't know.
They might get a C&D. Yeah.
I mean, well, we drop the C because it's you. It's named after you.
What about a light bush?
Light bush? I think we're getting
a little
too.
That gets a little dirty.
Hey, only if you take it there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can clean it, though.
Who are we talking about here?
You're the one that, hey, it was you, man.
So, segue.
Here is Robert with the beer news.
Don't give me that look.
We won't go into any of your answers you brought during trivia on your date. You know,
he went to Easter Market?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was one of those other situations where, you know, I'm setting up for trivia and all of a sudden there's friggin' Matt Bush.
Hey, but you know what? I gave you pizza that night, so
you did.
I don't know why you're bringing things up. I thought I earned your confidence with free Bismarck pizza.
I figured, okay, he's on date. He gave me pizza.
I never realized that Supino's does slices.
Yeah.
So when somebody told me after the Saturday festival, I walked in and grabbed 2 slices of Supino's pizza. Like, all right, thanks, because I didn't want to have to wait for a freaking whole pizza. And there was no, it's not like it's a hot and ready place.
I just wish they did slices. I mean, if it was possible to do slices of everything, then I would take all those. Because, I mean, the Bismarck next to San Gennaro is probably my favorite one. I know people kind of freak out about a pizza that has a fried egg on it.
Oh, those people are crazy.
Those
Let
people.
Them. Let
those,
them.
It is
Bigalora has got a really good one.
Amazing. Although Pie Side down the road in Woodbridge. And their creation that they've been doing from, you know, their enchilada pizza, which, you know, a dude heated up and threw some pico de gallo on there, which was absolutely amazing, to all the other recipes that, you know, they'll have, like, their staple pizzas. And then 2 months down the road, all of a sudden, they just change up. And they'll do something completely different. And you'll see they had one pizza that actually had shrimp and grits on it, which I thought was one of the weirdest things I'd ever heard of anybody even putting on a pizza. And, you know, having a wife who is Italian, that she thinks that if it doesn't have pepperoni on it, it's not pizza. It's just stuff on bread.
Well, have you guys ever been to Amar Pizza on Hamtramck?
Is that the one that they had on Bizarre Foods with the fish sauce pizzas?
I believe so. Yeah, it's got like the tandoori pizza. And
that sounds good, but no, I've not been there.
Yeah, it's just that whole – I think everyone's just trying to reinvent the wheel with pizza these days.
Yeah.
You have to. The competitions – I think a lot of people are going less and less to Domino's, Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Little Caesars, and starting to go more towards the smaller.
I think
that's in general just all food and drink.
But I also think –
the main chains are leaving and
– yeah.
But I think there's an effort that – when I buy beer from these guys, I'm, you know, putting shoes on their kids' feet and I'm paying their mortgage as opposed to giving some franchisee who's has like 300,000 liquid to just buy into something that it's not going to affect his bottom line if he sells one more $17 racist pizza. Whereas these guys, if they sell an extra keg, you know, they're in a better spot, you know?
Right, but I think it also, like, I mean, yes, a lot of people do that, but at the same time, it is the small mom-and-pop shops that come up with all the creativity. I mean, you look at beer, I mean, it used to just be, you know, light lager, and that was it, right? And now, ever since craft breweries came around, even they have to start changing up and adding new things or buying up other breweries. But point is, right, is that, like, everybody has had to step up and change their game because of the smaller local places. Mm-hmm. And little it goes the same thing with the food.
Yeah. Little by little, they keep losing their market share. They have to keep buying or creating by buying to make up for it.
I got nothing else to add to that.
Oh, I thought there was something else you were going to add to.
Yeah, I know. So I love, you know, non-chain restaurants. I mean, we always eat at home, but if we do go out, it's never to a chain.
I was going
to
say I'm in restaurants 5 days a week, so for work.
True. All right. Well, I guess let's go through some news. As brought to you by Zatuna Liquor.
Hey. I think they're in Rochester Hills.
Aren't they?
Just south of M59 on Rochester Road.
Yeah. Who should be saying hi to over there?
Gus. Gus, yeah.
Just
strictly Gus.
Yeah. Yeah, don't say hi to
Jackson
anyone else
timeout.
But
Jackson
Gus.
Timeout only.
How did Jack get in a timeout?
Because he's not carrying my favorite cigars any longer.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. I'm muting you before you even get to the Mitch Hedberg joke.
Oh, man.
No, you're muted. You're muted. You have your headset off or you would know you're muted.
Sometimes I do like these around the horn moments where it just all of a sudden just shut down.
I know, just like freeze them, yeah.
Right. So a couple of events that are coming up. The Boat Club Beer Fest headed to Belle Isle in Detroit on Saturday, October 13th, Dina and I's wedding anniversary. And that's going to be happening.
Sure, she'd love that.
She actually wants to go.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
But there is a reason, because she wants to see the Detroit Boathouse.
Oh, okay.
She hasn't been to the Boathouse since it was declared condemned and they were going to basically tear this down. But basically they're doing this beer fest to basically raise money for proceeds to help renovate the Boathouse.
Are they going to park the Boblo boat there?
Wow. You know what? That's still too soon. Bastard.
Matt's on fire today.
Right?
Oh, man. You're not kindling.
So, fun fact, I learned that my uncle was the captain of that boat.
Oh, wow.
I texted because obviously my parents are old.
Kenny!
Well, they're listening right now, so... No, so I had sent them a message. I just sent them a little text message of the little snippet from M Live or whatever saying that it was on fire. And my mom responds, you know that your uncle, would be my grandma's brother. Was the captain of that boat. And I'm like, really? And my dad sends me a message right after saying, yeah, our family member used to be the captain of that boat. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's probably photos and stuff that next time there's a family gathering, I'll be able to look at and see some fun stuff. But yeah, I never personally went to Boblo Island.
I went there as a kid.
Several times.
Whoa. Did you go?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the Boblo.
Where is Boblo Island?
It's south. It's Ontario? South of the, well, no, it's technically a shared island between both the U.S. and the Canada. And there used to be two ports of entry, one from Canada, one from Windsor or South Windsor, and the other was from
I went there when I was like
Detroit.
Five or six. I can't really.
There's a lot of urban exploring because obviously you could still like take your boat over there and dock and get onto the island and see a lot of like the remnants of Boblo Island.
But that'd be creepy, like Chernobyl, right?
I don't think it'd be that creepy. Like, there's not gonna be ghosts.
You've seen like the Chernobyl after like the theme parks around
the
it.
Ghost just town,
vegetation
drawing on like swing
good
sets.
Old nightmare roller coaster. Yeah. I missed that. I think last time I think I was like 16 was the last time I was there.
1600.
Oh my god. Yes, 1600.
That didn't really work. I'm sorry. Mute me.
All right, so the Boat Club Beer Fest are going to have, basically as what it is touted on the website, there's going to be 40 different beers that will be on and mostly craft by definition because there will be some of the bigger wigs will be there. I believe there was the likes of like Lagunitas.
Labatt Blue Light.
And some Deschutes. I'm pretty sure Labatt will be there, but I did see Latitude 42 is going to be there. And there were a couple other local breweries. I think Atwater, among a couple other ones. I'd have to go back to the site. But tickets are on sale. They're at BoatClubBeerFest.com. Again, it's on October 13th. It's a Saturday. There's VIP tickets that give you early entry that starts at 2. General admission is at 3 o'clock. I believe it goes on until 7.
Is that the 11th?
October 13th.
October 13th.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Also, as I know quite a few of us have seen pop up on Facebook, that tickets are already on sale for the Michigan Brewers Guild's Fall Beer Fest, which is going to be happening Friday and Saturday, October 26th through the 27th at Eastern Market, mostly in Shed 5, probably spilling into Shed 4. I guess I'm not really sure how far it's going to go back, but I know there's quite a few other things that will be happening in that week beforehand, but not a lot. As he shakes his head. But also remember, as it has already been posted, that buying a designated driver ticket does not mean a designated driver will be provided for you when your ass gets drunk. That ticket is for
that
the driver
this year at the Summer Beer
bring.
Fest.
Really?
The Brewers Guild made a post about it like the $5 DD people. Ticket does not mean we give you a DD.
Are you serious?
Honest to God.
Although it elicited some great responses.
Oh my God.
I mean, I can only imagine I don't know, just showing up to a booth, just drunk off your ass. I'm like, what do you mean?
My driver,
where's my driver?
Why did I give you that $5? Because that's all the shirt you need. It's a 5.
Yeah, I need to be driven back to my place in Detroit. $5.
Although, I'll be honest, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they chartered buses from like a central location in Detroit to Ipsy and back.
They do.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's called Motor City Brew Tours. Steven Johnson does it.
Oh, fuck me then.
He does it for the Winterfest and the Summerfest. He does not do it for the Fall Festival.
It's because it's already in Detroit, right?
Yeah. That's
well, maybe he should do the opposite. Like, he should start in Grand Rapids, bring it to Detroit, and take it back.
I'm probably sure they probably have stuff out there. I mean, between all the Grand Rapids bus that goes to all the Grand Rapids breweries and stuff, I'm sure they have an ordeal or something. Kind of like how Kunin does a yearly trip to the Taste of the Midwest, and they charter a bus to the Taste of the Midwest. So
gotcha.
I've heard stories of the drunken debauchery on that.
I don't know if I would trust that bus.
I would trust the bus because you're paying someone to drive you sober.
Well, I mean,
the people on the bus. Yeah. I mean, a bunch of homebrewers bringing their own beer, so I mean, you probably get fucked up.
Are you saying that the people on the bus go round and round?
They go round, full round.
Round full, there you go. There you go. There's the beer version of the 21 and up version.
Nice. Oh man, I almost just thought about not even bringing this one up. This is. Yeah. Matt's all ready for this one. All right, so there is this, and you know, there's a brewery that has done this before, so it's really not even completely old news, but it still is something that is just, what the fuck are you doing? So a Polish brewery by the name of the Order of Yoni has made a beer of their own, which they're presenting themselves as the world's first beer with the lactic acid from a vagina. in a bid to apparently spice up this new product, the brewery has used unique ingredients, which is, as I said, the bacteria from two women, apparently two, as what the article said.
I was going to say.
Smoking hot models.
Did you put smoking hot models?
No, I did not put smoke. That is direct from the article. Paulina and Monica, these two models.
Right, for this, we need another drink.
We need another drink. So the owner of the brewery, he explained that.
I remember when Jeff was telling me about this, and I was like, "I call bullshit on that." But I guess
I want to see that. I want these people labeled on the beer, though, because so, I don't want like Ethel.
So they did apparently there were questions as to whether or not these women were
actually, you know, the providers.
Well, not
smoking
only
hot.
I think not only the actual providers, but that they did not carry anything else with that bacteria that would cause said issues within
little
your
shellfish
own person, right? Something to that effect.
You boil it out anyways, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think. I mean, that's typically what you do with shellfish is you boil it. Oh,
do you boil the lactic acid or do you put it in later?
That's a Jeff question.
That is a Jeff question.
But
how would you make this beer?
Yeah, if you're at a kettle, sour, you add a lactic acid before you boil.
All right.
Which I'm hoping that's the way they did it. Or else.
Yeah, I don't want to. Please don't. Let this not be an idea for you, please.
So they made two different ones. There's one that they called Bottled Lust and the other Bottled Passion, one for each of the women. Both of them are 8%. And I guess the first edition's got has a subtle nutmeg aroma, and while the second one, I don't know why I said it like that. It was kind of funny. The second one is a classic light beer, which, you know, that one, the light beer was Monica, while the one with subtle nutmeg is the one with Polina.
Is it wrong that I can never hear the name Monica without thinking of the movie
Lubega.
Fast and the Furious?
I'm thinking Lubega.
No, I'm thinking Ja Rule from Fast and the Furious.
Murder.
That's, I mean, isn't that? No, that is Ja Rule.
Ja Rule, damn it!
Like, isn't that DMX? No, that's who's gonna give it to you.
But so, that's something that you would also not get in the beer. Actually, gonna give you something else,
right? So obviously, you know, you guys you're reaching that one year mark. I know segue into this shit.
I'm not even
going to
say this.
And
we'll be right back.
No, absolutely not. This absolutely is not would you do this? This is just more of a, you know, exotic ingredients that you would consider using in your beer. Not going to this extent, because this is, I don't know what the fuck planet these people are on who are even coming up with this shit.
They're called Poland. It's called Poland.
We gotta get it to Poland.
Damn it, Poland.
I'm German. I guess we're programmed to not enjoy Chinese company.
I just figured there has got to be that one ingredient that you want to put in a beer that you haven't had a chance to do yet.
Durian fruit.
Pizza.
I was thinking of doing a... I had a curry stout in San Diego about 10 years ago. It was actually quite pleasant and spicy with like the right amount of heat on it. So I was thinking it still hasn't left the back burner. So.
What about like a coconut stout with curry?
Actually, I have an idea. I was going to do the next black IPA I was going to do with coconut.
So
as curry.
I kind of looked up
curry.
I legit just looked up curry stout San Diego, and apparently Ballast Point has one.
Yep. That was
it's
it.
It's called the
Indra Canindra.
Indra Canindra, yep. It's
I think I've
solid
seen
beer.
I mean, it's bottled.
Yeah.
I see a bottle of it right now. It says our India style export stout is a unique collaboration with award winning homebrewer Alex Tweet. Released in limited quantities, yep. So I don't know if you've seen it anymore. Mm. This explosion of South Asian flavors is reason enough to kneel down and thank the heavens.
It was a pleasant surprise.
So. Yeah. I remember, that was a really good one.
Anything from San Diego I would wish was here was Modern Times. I would love to have some Modern Times right now. Especially the coffee house. That was like one of my favorite ones. All right. So I feel like Matt is definitely going to join in on this one. So Great Lakes Brewing is teaming up with a former NFL player to make a limited edition beer. It's
Great
gonna be
Lakes Cleveland.
Former NFL Johnny offensive Manco? Lineman
Joe Thomas.
Longtime Cleveland Brown and future Hall of Famer Joe Thomas. They're going to be working on a limited edition. It's going to be called the 73 Kolsch, which, of course, nice. Joe Brown's number was 73.
Joe Thomas's number.
Joe Thomas, not Joe Brown.
Oh, Joe Brown. Well,
that's a judge on TV.
I mean, basically, you might as well call Joe Brown for how long he was with the team.
And I don't think he ever missed a game, did he?
Nope.
He didn't miss a snap.
He didn't miss
a
snap.
It was over 10,000 consecutive offensive snaps that he was a part of.
He's an all-star and Hall of Famer. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, easy. We can laugh all we want. He was really good at his position.
He was very good.
It just sucked the team that he was on.
Right.
It's kind of like Charles Rogers, really good at his position. It's just like Roy Williams, really good at
No, you can stop there.
Ricky Williams?
He got high marks.
Yeah, oh, he did. He did. Good Lord. The cans are going to be available in September and on draft at Great Lakes Brewing. It's basically going to be a Kolsch. It's going to be 5.7% alcohol.
It should be 7.3% alcohol.
I don't know if you want to get a Kolsch that high, though.
But he was number 73.
Yes, I understand that. But if he wants to make a Kolsch, can you make a Kolsch that high and still be really...
Call it an Imperial Kolsch, I guess.
It just seems like a really weird beer to have such an imperial version of because it's meant to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to be refreshing and
crisp, cheap.
Yep. I would lose.
It's supposed
that.
To be something that Matt's supposed to drink 20 of.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, Kolsch is a good one. You're making a Kolsch again, aren't you?
We just brewed a Kolsch last week.
What's it called?
We don't know yet. We'll find out when we put it on.
Kolsch flavored Kolsch.
Yeah, Matt.
The Kolsch one. Crush a Kolsch one.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of how we come up with our names. It's like right before we put it on, we're like, Kolsch, oh, shoot, second. We forgot about the name. Yep. What are we going
to
call it?
Somebody's standing up there trying to write it on the board, and you're like, I don't know.
How do you spell that?
Yeah. No, let's.
There you go. How do you spell that Kolsch?
So then we have, like, you know, the bartenders and us, and
what
we're all like,
umlaut
Googling Kolsch. Stuff.
Umlaut Kolsch.
Call it
just have a
the
giant umlaut over the Kolsch.
No, just two dots.
Yeah.
That's what, an umlaut is.
An O and two dots.
People wouldn't know.
Can I get that smiley face emoji?
That's the OMG emoji.
Oh, yeah, the wow emoji?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What was the beer that everybody was mispronouncing?
The Peewee Gawazi.
Oh, that one, too.
Weizenbach.
Oh, there was a German one that people were just... really hacking up, and I forgot what it was.
The Munich Dunkel?
No, that's pretty.
It was Munchie Dunkel, maybe. It was in like the winter. Well, either way.
How bad? Like, has somebody just really mispronounced a beer so bad when they try to order it? Like, how often does that happen? Like, somebody comes up and you're like, a what? And you're trying to figure out what they're trying to say.
So, what was that Polish beer that you actually? What was it called?
Piwo
we just named it whatever the style was, which is Piwo Grodziskie.
Piwo Grodziskie.
Okay.
Which is
I don't think anybody ever...
Oak smoked wheat beer.
I don't know if anybody ever pronounced that properly.
I'd have to look at the spelling just to, like, even... Wait, did I see 50 Shades?
Yeah.
50 Shades of Great? The New England IPA? Okay, that's a really funny...
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, I usually am pretty good in regards to, like, reading Polish, but if I can't see it, like, I'll even follow. Yeah. I can't even say it. Like, I can't repeat what you just said, but the second I look at it, I'd probably be able to say it.
It's the same with me. It's so much easier to be able to read it.
I grew up
in a Polish household, so we speak Polish at home.
I know one Polish phrase, and I know to never hear it, and that's hucz tutaj. And that usually means get the hell over here because you're about to get your ass kicked.
I've heard that phrase plenty of times. Not directly at me.
See, I would pronounce it the Piwo Groszicki.
Close.
It's better than most people.
Just because I'd
be like, can I get the kielbasa water, please?
Yeah.
More or I would just stop at Piwo if I didn't know.
Yeah, well,
can I get the Piwo? Historic Polish German ale brewed with 100% oak smoked wheat malt. Light smokiness and clear. Do you guys write your own descriptions on Untappd? Okay.
Yeah, and the kicker of that beer is to keep it two style, it has to be like under 4% alcohol. So now you really have a challenge. Needless to say, it was.
I was gonna say this looks clear.
Yeah,
like it almost looks like a Belgian wit without mm-hmm. like an uncloudy wit. So yep. It's got that like that yellow, not like dark yellow, but like a light yellow white yep. color, so you can't see through it. I'm seeing someone who posted it on Untappd from June 8th. So, and somebody wrote down the Groshitsky at the bottom. So I'm assuming they're trying to remember what they drank that day. Because I wrote it right on. Do you guys write the names of the beers on the coasters, or is this something that this person just does?
Yeah, we usually get a flight.
If we do a flight.
A bunch of tasters, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's weird because this is a full pint for sure, or full glass.
Well, they could have started off with some tasters and then they got a full pint and then they just put it on top of their old.
Fair enough.
That fair enough.
Let's get one more news article in, Rob.
All right. I'm going to go. Yeah, I guess visit California on this one, which I'm actually kind of surprised at this.
Are you saying we're going back to Cali?
I am, but, you know, Matt would say that he doesn't think so. But, what? Nothing? Nothing?
No, I'll let you have that one.
Jeez, it's weak. All right, so California lawmakers are considering two new pieces of legislation. One that would expand retail sale privileges for the state's brew pubs, and another bill, which interestingly enough is backed by ABI, that would allow beer manufacturers to give away glassware to bars and restaurants. So you've got one particular one, Senate Bill 1283. It's going to allow brew pubs with what they call Type 75 licenses, which are retail restaurants with brewing privileges between 100 and 5,000 barrels annually to sell products for off-premise consumption, which, like I said, I thought this was something California could already do, but apparently not.
Well, they could probably buy it. They just can't sell it. So they probably could buy it at, like, a deep discount.
Mm-hmm. So the bill would give brew pub operators also the chance to donate their product to nonprofits for beer festivals and other community events. As far as the other, the ABI-backed bill, Assembly Bill 2573, on-premise retailers would be allowed to accept up to 10 cases of free glassware per year from beer manufacturers. And the bill caps the amount of glassware a bar or restaurant could accept at 5 cases per brewery, and prohibits retailers from conditioning the purchase of a beer manufacturer's product or products on the giving of retail advertising glassware. Why?
Well,
we have all that. I guess I'm confused with the glass. The glassware one kind of throws me off a bit because, like,
it's free advertising.
It's yeah. I guess I can see it with free advertising, and I mean I'm scratching that shit off like immediately.
Well, I guess the premise is, and I know this happens a lot in the liquor industry here, is say you there's actually a popular restaurant on the water by our houses that in order to be exclusive and sell that vodka exclusively, he said, you will buy me all of my brass mugs for my mules, and I will only pour your vodka. But if you have, say, a Budweiser pint glass or a Bud pint glass, you're sure as shit going to have that on draft. You're not going to pour somebody a Miller Lite in a Bud Light pint glass because the Miller Lite person won't want Bud Light written on their glass.
True.
And people will want to see – like when I used to sell beer to bars – I always said, you know, why don't people put like Heineken or Corona on draft? The reason is because the image of me being a cool guy with the clear bottle and the lime in it or that green bottle, I stand out. It's an image thing about having a Corona or I have a Heineken because I'm not just drinking your standard brown bottle of macro lager. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is Bud's going to give them 10 cases of free swag. They're going to have to then keep those beers on draft because none of us are going to roll up to a craft brewery and get their craft beer in a Bud Light pint glass.
Oh, hell no. I mean,
so it keeps them on tap, which right. So protects their tap from the impending craft beer takeover. And they'll probably give 5 cases of Bud, 5 cases of Bud Light, and you can't, you're not going to serve anything except Bud or Bud Light in those pint glasses.
I wouldn't care what glass my beer is in as long as it's.
But if you don't.
Because we're drinking.
The odds are if you drink Coors Light or Miller Light, if that's your standard go to, you don't like Bud Light. So you wouldn't want to have a Miller Light poured in a Bud Light glass.
Are those beer wars still going on? Yes. The light beer wars?
Yeah.
You have no idea.
They are.
The loyalty, yeah.
I don't. Like I mean I go into enough bars and I know people have their typical drink, but like even for me, like growing up, I didn't like I would typically always and for a while it was Coors Light, now it's Miller Light. And if my choice is Miller Light or nothing or Coors Light or nothing or Bud Light or nothing, I'm gonna drink the beer.
I still more often than I should turn down Bud Light for anything. If someone says I have Bud Light or I almost always pick
with the
or.
R.
Just because it
Bud Light or King Cobra,
I'd probably say King Cobra. I don't even. But you know what? I don't run in circles where someone says I have Bud Light or King Cobra.
Steel Reserve.
I don't know those Reserve. People. So you know, I no.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. We will be right back
with a great game.
With a great game, apparently, Better on Draft Podcast. And we are back, episode 141, Better on Draft Podcast. And as always, with segment 3, we have... Are we doing 5 questions?
Some guy who's
well,
never...
there'll be 16 questions today.
16 questions today. No mystery beer, though.
No, I figured I would save you.
Okay, thank you.
So we're going to play a game. It's called Name That Jam X.
Name
so
That Jam X.
I think one of the most... The cutest, the most sincere thing about you guys is you named your brewery Jam X after your sons James and Alex. So what I'm going to do is I have 6 or 15 people that are either James or Alex's or a cantation of their name of some sort. So what I'm going to read you guys, so there's going to be 2 sets of rules. One for the Jam X people where all you have to do is say either James or Alex because it's going to be the answer to each question. However, for the Better on Draft crew, I need the full name of the person that I know which who I'm asking. Oh, yeah. So, for instance, if the clue was Michael Corleone, you would say
James Woods.
Al Pacino, who played...
Gotcha.
Okay, and you just have to say, you guys would just have to realize, you know, say Alex. Okay, so since we're an audio medium, the way you ring in is by saying your name.
Oh, so we're going in all forms of Alex.
Okay.
Alex. Wait, with James, are we including Jim or Jimmy?
Jim, Jimmy's, Jamie's, and James's.
Jeez.
Trust Jamie, me, it'll get a lot easier.
All right.
So
how's Jamie work with Jim?
It's Matt Bush made the
That's
rules.
That's the Jamie is no Jamie is an incantation of James.
This is the shit that I don't like when people call Billy's William and Robert's William. Bob.
So, Kat, since you're going to be the part-time player,
right?
I'm going to let you pick both. So we have 3 categories: we have actors, public figures, or athletes. So I'm going
to
let
you ring in by saying our names.
You ring in by saying your name.
All right.
So I'm going to let you pick the first category and amount in which you're willing to go. Just similar to Jeopardy, but you don't have to say who is or what is.
All right. So let's go actor 200.
Actor 200. Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil.
Got it.
You got to say your name. Yeah. Pay attention.
Ring in by saying your name.
James Avery.
What's your name?
My You're supposed to say Rob.
Okay, okay, since we're an audio medium,
yeah,
people need to know who's ringing in. So, yeah.
Robert.
You're such a dick.
All right, 200 for the Better on Drafters.
So, oh, so this is a team event.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good Drafters job, Rob. Yay.
Happy now, fucker.
All right. So the board is to Better on Draft. I should be keeping score somehow, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll go actor for 300.
Grandpa Munster.
Ooh.
You guys have a 50-50 shot.
Do we go into the negative?
I'll keep you above board.
Why don't you take a guess?
Cat. James.
55th.
So wait, hold on. So it's an Al and Alex. I have no idea.
Grandpa Munster.
I have no idea. Munster.
Was played by Al Lewis.
Al Lewis.
So no points scored. No, so Al. Rob, the board remains yours. All right,
here we go. Up. We're going to go actor 100.
Carpool Karaoke.
Ken. James Corden.
James Corden. All right, he's also a late night show, so he works in that room.
I knew that one.
So you got Better on Draft remains.
I'm going to do Public for 100.
This man delivers freaky fast sandwiches.
Rob. Oh.
Jimmy
Jones.
That's a public figure, is Jimmy Jones?
Public figure. Public.
I guess.
Public for 200.
All right. Kermit's handler.
Rob. Jim Henson.
I want to get a mic check on these guys real quick.
I knew it. He's just too quick.
Public for 300.
This is not your clue. This is a Daily Double.
Cat.
Yep.
Alex Trebek.
There we go.
Oh, damn it. I thought
I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, is he
really? I thought it was a Daily Double and we had to wager.
I was just waiting. I'm like, why don't you wager all of it?
See? Thank you. He got it.
Did all of us get him a cat?
You did the sound. It just completely distracted me. I'm like, okay, I guess Cat's got it. And it's like, wait, what just happened?
No.
All right.
Cat, the board is back to you.
I will take it shamelessly. Let's go. All right, Jeff, this is for you. Athlete 300.
Detroit Lion turned actor.
Rob. Alex Karras.
Oh, I had no idea.
No, you guys didn't know. Okay.
Athlete for 100.
A forward on the U.S. national soccer team. A famous forward.
Oh, I know the first name. I don't know the last name, though.
Again, you guys have a 50-50 shot.
Might as well take it.
Jeff. Alexi Lalas?
No. All I need is a name. It's either James or Alex.
Alex.
It's Alex Morgan. So you're
Alex, that's Morgan. I couldn't get her last name.
Okay. So, Jeff, you guys take control of the board.
All right. Let's do Public 500.
It's a Daily Double. No.
This Greek was more than good.
Greek was more than good.
Cat, is it?
Oh, damn it. Go on, Cat.
Alex the Great?
Yeah, Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great.
That should have been. Oh. Like, there you go. Okay.
All right. So, quick scoreboard check. Better on Draft has 900 points, and the JMX team has also 900 points. So we're actually in a heat right now.
All right.
At 500.
Yeah, 9 apiece.
I kept saying, like, I'm like, what the hell does he mean by that? And then I realized.
Wait, he was Greek? I was like, that's just like completely lost myself.
According to Wikipedia, he was Greek, so fuck it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
After he changed it.
Yeah.
It's like
Rockaroo.
Kat, you control the board.
All right. Public 400.
Public 400. Brittany's younger sister.
Oh, my God.
Jeff.
Oh, damn it.
James.
Damn it. It's Jamie Spears.
Jamie Spears. Damn, no.
Jamie Lynn Spears. I would have buzzed you had you not. I'm kidding. All right, so we have crossed out the public category. So now we have two left in actors. We have 4 and 500, and then we have 2, 4, and 500 left in athlete. So, Jeff, it is your category.
Do athlete for 400.
This wrestler is celebrating today.
Wait, what?
Yes.
This athlete is celebrating. Well, it's not.
You guys 50, have a 50. 50.
You take it.
No, it's not a James or an Alex. I don't know who it.
Jess.
Celebrate.
Yeah.
Let's go with Alex.
Alex is correct.
Who's Alex?
He is billed as Alexander Rusev.
Oh, Rusev Day. God damn it.
God, this is why I had to make it harder on you guys.
That was good. That was good.
All right, okay. So you have the board.
All right, let's do athlete 200.
the biggest losing quarterback in the Super Bowl era?
Ken. Jim Brown.
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Damn it. This is your fault for saying Joe Brown earlier.
You fucking took it from me. Damn it.
All right. We have...
We are mathematically eliminated.
I was
going to
say, we're donezo.
Did we do 300 on the... Yeah, we did. That was Al Lewis, Grandpa.
I thought that was... Oh, yeah, we did.
We have three categories left.
Three
we
questions.
Have
actors for 4 and 5, and we have athletes for 5.
Yep.
Oh, so we got to get Lee 3.
Right, actor for 4.
Actor for 4. He played Santino Corleone.
Oh, Jeff. James Caan.
Damn it. He got me. He got me. I had it.
All right. Jeff?
Let's do 500 actors.
His birth name is Eric Marlin Bishop, but he's better known as this. Eric Bishop.
Ken. Jim Carrey.
No.
I don't know. It was a guess. I had nothing.
You have a 50-50 shot.
Jeff James Woods?
Well,
James.
He wants some Marvin Gaye, some Luther Vandross, a little Anita. Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh. I didn't know he changed his name.
Damn it. That's right. Now I get it. All right.
And finally, this is the 4-time NASCAR champion.
Rob. That would be James Stewart.
It wouldn't be. Jeff. Close.
Jimmy Johnson.
There we go.
Jimmy Johnson.
We got our asses kicked.
I know we did.
All right.
Well,
that wasn't even like him trying to like do like the 50-50. They lost on their 50-50s. He knew the answers to the rest of them.
All right. So I'm gonna give the final answer, even though you guys have no shot.
Don't give the answer.
Or the final question, rather.
Just throw it out there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Final Jeopardy.
In Full House, one of the Katsopolis twins.
No, I don't watch fucking Full House.
The Katsopolis twins, okay.
Was named appropriately for this game.
Oh, Uncle it's Jesse's. Alex.
Yes, yeah, Nikki, Alex. And,
Nikki
Alex.
And Alex.
So
that's Jesse and Rebecca's kid. They have not aged at all in the last 20 years. Can we talk about that real quick?
John Stamos?
John Stamos? Yeah, they did not age whatever. Like, even like Jodie Sweetin looks the same.
But she did meth in between.
She did, and she still looks good now. Like,
which was that at the middle
Jodie one? Sweetin was the middle one, yeah. She had a meth problem for sure. And she cleaned herself up and obviously did good. And then, I mean, they all kind of look the same.
The only person of Hollywood money, right?
I guess so. But, I mean, I don't know if John Stamos is like has had all that work done to him. I just don't think
I think he's just Greek. You know, maybe that's a stereotype. That's but, you know, I don't think it's a negative one, right?
Positive stereotypes for the win. We should start a trend. Positive stereotypes.
Damn, us Germans always getting places on time.
Is that a German thing? Like being on time all the time?
Yeah,
very much so.
Being on time. You know, Brazilians using way too much postage. You know, the usual.
That's a really good reference to...
Hi, my brother.
Yeah.
You know, Canadians being afraid of the dark. You know, the usual.
That's right. I was trying to figure out what, like, where that was from, and I just remember it was
it's the Canada
Jason
episode.
Siegel.
Yeah. It's the Little Minnesota episode.
Yeah, the Little Minnesota episode. God, that's – I would have crushed that How I Met Your Mother trivia, by the way.
I know.
Our team should have been called the Funk, the whole Funk and nothing but the Funk.
Yeah, so did you have any good puns or –
Well, the thing, I didn't host it, but it always seems like whenever we do the theme nights – that I will get at least 4 teams that will want to use the same team.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the first one who gets it in is the one who gets it. And everybody else, like the last time I did Friends theme night, and I had 5 teams that wanted to use the Mr. Chandler bong or whatever, the reference to the TV guy that would show up at his house
uh-huh.
with the wrong name. That I had like 4 different teams that wanted to use that same name. and it would just show up in my hand. It's like, nope, you need to change it. What? Why? It's like, because there's already one that's already – I already have a Chandler ball.
When I did the office, mind you, I had 60 teams. Mm-hmm. I had four teams with this exact name, and I had to bring it up because there was no way I was going to remember it because I never
Kevin
watched
and
the show. No. Michael Scott's, Dunder, Mifflin, Scranton, Meredith, Palmer, Memorial, Celebrity, Rabies Awareness, Pro-Am, Fun Run, Race for the Cure. And they legit wrote it on every single scorecard, and I'm like, I at one point I just like said Race for the Cure, and then I'm like, I'll say your full name if you get in the top three,
right? See, and I did Game of Thrones, and I had two teams that went, one that went drinks and no things, and the other one we drink and we know things. And they both actually ended up first, second. So I had to sit there.
So they do know things.
Yeah, apparently they knew things because both teams.
I would have went for the obvious Peter's Dinklage.
No short jokes?
No one went for something like that. That would have been perfect.
I mean, it's a good. I mean,
yeah, no. Plays
it, I would have gone with it's a nice day for a red wedding.
Oh, man, that's still one of. That's still an episode that burns.
So when you guys aren't at the brewery, how are you, you know, like, what's your time away from the kids?
Well,
where do you like
don't
to...
watch TV or know anything what you guys are talking about.
Okay, so you don't watch TV. Are you able to get away from them? Are you able to, like, go out and, you know, spend a night together?
Yeah, you know, in the last couple of months, we're starting to finally get that.
Yeah, we're starting to get into the groove a little bit. But no, I mean, when we're not at the brewery, we're taking the kids to the park. We're doing bath time.
How old are your kids now?
Four and three. And the other one?
Yeah, so almost five. He'll be five really soon. So
they're getting more manageable, too. So it's making things a little bit.
What's the age where like the older one can start watching the younger one?
Not five.
Seven?
12?
Well, I guess how long till like the oldest can start like wiping down the bar and like. Doing all that stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
make it a game.
Well, James, he's the 3-year-old, and he's working really hard to grow really big so that he can start Daddy's lawnmower and go brew beer.
Okay. Well, I fell for that when I was like 8 or 9 about trying to mow the lawn. I lived on 2 acres at a time, so I thought it was cool just to drive the tractor.
Well,
but nope.
We're going to keep hoping that he's going to enjoy it as long as he lives in the house.
See, my parents taught me at a young age. They paid me to mow the lawn. They paid me to do the like shovel the snow for the driveway. And what that did was, I'm like, oh, this is money. I like money. So then I would start knocking next door to door. Like snow days were my favorite days ever.
Yeah.
Because snow days, I would be up and ready to go and start knocking on doors. Hey, do you need your snow shoveled? Do you need your snow shoveled? When I was older, I couldn't get a lot of people to let me mow their lawn for some reason. But
I had somebody telling me, you know, this is my 1 hour away from my wife and kids a week.
Oh, that's
stay
hysterical.
Off my lawn. And I remember when I was probably like 11 or 12, I was at my grandma's and I just drank way too much Mountain Dew one morning and I shoveled the snow and shoes, basketball shorts, and that's it. And then I just started shoveling all the snow. And I, again, was yelled at because this is my exercise. Like, just be thankful that someone did
like
this.
Being in shorts and stuff, like, I never had any issues with that because you would work up such a sweat while you were doing it that you would never feel cold. You would feel so – especially if you had, like, layers on top too.
But I'm not – I wasn't even talking, like, heavy, like digging and you know, plowing snow. I'm talking just the whole walk across the driveway copious amounts of time and clear it off. But yeah, Mountain Dew's a hell of a drug.
It is. Have you guys ever thought of doing like Alka Pops over there? Now that because I mean, you can with the wine license, you could probably do something a little crazier than
beer slushes.
No, we haven't looked into that.
A mead?
Probably not.
A braggot, maybe.
I was looking at a braggot. I think so. I think we're gonna do a braggot.
Let's say was that 49% honey or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's definitely toes the line. I had my, you know. We actually had a braggot from Coonan a couple weeks ago, and I really liked it. I was like, shit, we're going to make one of these.
Yeah.
Even Kat came around at the end, you know, usually strong, full-bodied stuff like that. It's not her thing.
It's a lot.
I thought it was excellent. I can't wait to make one. So.
Yeah, I know Bee Nectar just made a couple for their Ferndale Palooza this weekend. Sellerman's usually has, like, one on draft.
Yeah.
Were you guys able to get to the beer festival last weekend or no?
No,
we had some equipment malfunctions at the brewery, of course.
Oh yeah, our walk-in broke.
Yeah, So we were.
We had to buy a new compressor.
We were buying bags of ice and moving kegs around in the walk-in, and then finding a way to pair HVAC guy.
Yeah.
All right.
So I mean, you guys are working on joining the Brewers Guild.
Yeah.
So when I mean
we'll be there eventually. Yes. One day eventually. We'll get there.
Yeah. They, hopefully for the fall one.
They yeah. came in,
no, not for the fall.
They came in May, I believe. Right, May or April.
Yeah, they came in. I don't know.
And they liked everything. Everything's legit. Beer was good. So now we're just waiting on that.
I don't know. Whatever it is that they send you, or package. They just yeah. add you to it.
Yep.
Hmm. So actually, I guess in terms of, because we really didn't get a chance to talk about the Summer Beer Fest. I mean, for, I guess for Ken and Matt, were there any favorites that you had out of the beer fest, or anything that stood out?
Honestly, no.
Lucky Girls Brown Ale.
Damn right, Fight that coffee brown.
Yep,
that was my favorite out of the whole thing.
I'll be basic and say I really like the beer slushy from Batch.
The peach cobbler.
The one
slush
that I had was horrible. I had God, I can't remember her name, and she'll probably hate me for it. She runs Detroit Beer Press, Courtney, and I took a little lick of the slushy, and like my face, like you see me make like bitter beer face. This was like that was the only thing I ever poured out, and I wound up having the beer, and the beer was great. The beer was really good, but the slushy, on the other hand, not so good at all.
I mean, and there's not many that really do that. Is this just gimmicky to do a beer slush?
I think so.
I think it's the summer, though.
The summer, yeah.
So, yeah, I know it's the summer, but
you could probably upcharge because it seems fancy.
It kind of seems like that. I kind of feel like there would be more breweries that do it, or at least maybe at the beer fest that there would be more.
Drafting Table was starting to do it.
I just go there for the mean vanilla bean. And I just, you know, I'm pretty blind to everything else because that shit is amazing.
I don't know. It just seems like it's hot. It's the summer. Do cold shit.
Yeah, and you know, there is the rule that I have. You know, don't drink anything over 10% in your first two beers. And I broke that shit immediately
again?
When I walked in again because I went to Bell's and I had the Honey Hearted and the Double Two Hearted. So I had a 13.5 and a 14.4, my first two beers.
I tell you guys every time. Like, I have no sympathy for you anymore. You and Dan both did the exact same thing, and I just have no sympathy.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay.
I accidentally started a line for Tart Strawberry.
Oh, I've done that before.
So, like, I wear a watch when I'm working, and I came from work, and I always keep it 10 minutes fast, just so I know I'm never late. So I looked at my watch. I said, oh, shit, it's almost 6:30, which is the time they were going to tap the Tart Strawberry, and I ran over there. And they told me, you fool, you're 15 minutes early.
Typical German.
So I stood there like an idiot screaming at people to get behind me.
Sure, showed up on time early.
And like literally people are walking up and trying to get it. And they're like pushing them into the line. And the line is beginning to heckle people. And like it's basically the wave of people pointing to the back of it.
I'd probably say, I mean, the consistent lines that I saw were with Old Nation and with Witch's Hat.
Oddside too had
Oddside had a decent line, despite you know some rumblings on you know whatever board that I don't feel
that
like
they didn't bring
right
enough
now.
Beer.
They brought the max beer
and they didn't bring enough beer.
Right, that was you know that was one thing.
You know I really love pissing off those people.
I know you do.
I just walk right up to the beer to the tent and I like put my cup up behind it and like pour myself a beer. Meanwhile, there are like 20 people in line. Like, wait, what?
It's complete and utter dick move. I don't know what that was about.
It just it felt good.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
For those people who are going to go on Untapped and make it a 1.89.
Right.
So, Jamex, where can they find you guys? Where are you guys located? How do we get there?
We're in St. Clair Shores, right off of Harper, between 8 and 9 Mile.
Yep, 94. You can take the 9 Mile exit and head south, or the 8 Mile exit, the Vernier exit, and head north.
Right,
we're pretty much halfway between.
Yeah, right across from Whistle Stop, that really great toy store. We're there now Wednesday through Sunday, 5 days a week. Right now we've got every single Sunday, we've got Raquel's Casino, which is an authentic Mexican pop-up. And
tomorrow we have a Polish food truck.
We do. Ooh, and
get some pierogies.
Pierogi.
Yep. Dude, they're so good.
Fantastic kielbasa and gołąbki. Stuffed cabbage is out of this world. So good.
So when I went, I saw potato pierogies or meat pierogies. I didn't see that it was stuffed like that. So I went in and I said, you know, I want, give me an order of pierogies. They're like, what do you want? And I said, give me half of each. And of course, that meant they were not going to give me half of each. They gave me seven when it was supposed to be six, but you know they can't count. So I'm like, what am I eating? It was a pulled pork pierogi, and I swear to Jesus, I don't think I've ever had a better pierogi in my life.
Their meat pierogi are so good.
I don't think I've ever had meat in a pierogi. It's all either been potato.
At home we always did the potato and cheese ones.
Yep.
But their meat ones are phenomenal.
To die for.
My family still does pierogi Sunday prior to Christmas, where all the women in my family and my father go up. Well, my father's the Polish side.
Yeah.
Go and make pierogi, and they'll make. They'll make their cheese pierogies. They'll make potato. They'll make sauerkraut. They'll make blueberry pierogi.
We used to do blueberry. Yeah.
I don't like it. I just do the potato and cheese.
Took it a savory.
Yeah.
Now, real quick before we go, obviously I have to ask: Are you guys aren't Michigan natives, correct?
No, we are. Yep. So Jeff, born and raised in Sterling Heights.
Raised in Sterling Heights.
Still doesn't have a hospital at the time.
All right. He still don't have a hospital, I don't think.
Point is, he's from here. I moved to Michigan when I was seven, and I've been here pretty much the entire time. We just moved out to San Diego in our early 20s for a few years, and then we came back.
Because we were talking before Tellway, because you guys had Tellway before you came here, and there used to be a Coney in Hamtramck called Jeannie's Weenies. Have you guys ever had Jeannie's Weenies?
No.
So this is one of those like lores of Hamtramck that's amazing Coney dogs. It doesn't exist anymore, but you can buy the peppers and like the seasoning online. And when I found that out, I told my family, and I'm sure they got a slew of orders because I ordered, my aunt ordered, my cousin in Arizona ordered. I was curious because obviously there's a huge Polish contingency in Hamtramck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't know, you know, being, if you grew up as a family that speaks Polish at house, you know, your parents or grandparents are probably Polish immigrants, I assumed.
My parents, we moved here when I was seven.
From Poland.
Well, it's a complicated story.
Okay.
It's a complicated story.
We don't get too far.
The point is, my parents are Polish. They moved to Germany once the border opened up. I was born in Germany, and then we moved here to Michigan in 94.
Gotcha. Well, that's an interesting little story about
right?
you.
Yeah, it's there a little... not so simple.
Yay! that isn't that hard.
Yeah, Ancestry.com ain't got nothing on us. 23 and us.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us. JamX, thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate you sharing your first year. Definitely check out the old episode of JamX from about a year and a half ago.
The weekend of July 28th, I believe.
Yeah, so just about a year ago, about 50 episodes ago. Check that out. See how their progress went from 1 year ago. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. We got North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. Amazing beer. They're doing great things over there.
Yeah,
we were actually pouring for them on Friday night at the festival. We also have Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills. And of course, if you've seen that photo of all of us at the Friday Festival, we were in front of Brown Iron Brew House, which is
located
in Washington Township.
And apparently they have Ranch Tot Nachos now.
Ranch Tot Nachos.
Yes.
I'd buy that for
cool ranch tots.
Okay.
But like also in like a poutine nacho kind of situation.
That sounds like a lot.
That's still good.
Like there's one too many flavors in there.
Kind of
I think
delicious, yeah.
I can only go up north so many times.
somebody has like on a burger,
Waterford.
Like if you put on a burger like mayo, mustard, ketchup,
stop.
And then add like barbecue sauce, and you're like, what? No, I think that's one too many.
Yeah,
you don't put
one condiment, one liquid condiment,
one liquid condiment.
You pick it. It's one liquid condiment.
Do you consider relish a liquid condiment?
No, but why would you get relish when you can just get pickle?
Gelatinous.
I don't know. I don't want either.
First of all, you either get barbecue sauce, mustard, mayonnaise, or ketchup. You don't get multiple. Once you start mixing those, then you're out. You're fired.
You're fired. That's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page. We are live on Facebook each and every Friday night, 7 p.m. Check us out. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's
Better on Draft.
Damn it, Matt. I was going to say that. It's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.